Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, it sounds like something they should have made a movie about, or perhaps they even did. But about 150 years ago, the Great Liberties Whiskey Fire broke out. The historian Donald Fallon will be giving a talk about this on May the 10th in St. Patrick's Cathedral. Tickets are available from culturedatewithdublin8.ie. Donald, good afternoon.
Good to be here.
Right, so is it known what sparked the fire?
Well, I mean, alcohol, in more ways than one, is a dangerous substance. And some listeners might remember, perhaps they were listening to News Talk, driving down the quays back in 2009 when they would have seen black smoke over the Guinness Brewery. Do you remember that sight? It was an extraordinary thing. And journalists went with the headline, "Stout-hearted firemen save black stuff's home." It might surprise people to learn that once upon a time, Guinness, Arthur Guinness and Sons, had their own fire service. Powers Whiskey had their own fire brigade as well. Anytime you're dealing with alcohol, you're dealing with a highly flammable substance. And in June 1875, the people of Dublin learned that. And they learned it in an area, the Liberties, that was packed full of distilleries, packed full of breweries, and really was the epicentre of those industries in Dublin historically.
Yeah, so did the fire start in a distillery? Is it known?
Would have been disastrous. Can you imagine a fire in a distillery? The fire began in the bonded warehouse, but to give you a sense of what the Liberties was like, at one point there were 55 breweries and 27 distilleries in Dublin.
My word.
I mean, after the Easter Rising, an MP stood up in Westminster and said, "In Dublin they make nothing except biscuits and booze."
Yeah.
And he wasn't wrong necessarily. Belfast was the economic capital of Ireland. Dublin trailed far behind, but because the Poddle runs right underneath, what do you need when you're producing booze? You need water. So the Liberties became the kind of epicentre of that. And when you're producing alcohol, be it beer, be it whiskey, you have to store it. The Liberties is full of bonded warehouses, and it's one of them that goes up in June 1875. It's around 8 o'clock at night when it's reported. And because of the nature of what it is and how it burns, it's almost like lava as it makes its way through the street. So I've always thought it must be quite an incredible spectacle to have witnessed a fire like that before your own eyes.
So it's like molten whiskey is running through the streets.
And I mean, my father's a retired firefighter and the historian of the fire brigade, and he'd done a lot of digging into this story and of separating the fact from fiction of it. Some of the accounts from that day are just amazing. I mean, there's a story about a pub going up in flames. People talk about a miracle that a local convent was saved. The wind blew in an opposite direction. I wouldn't have thought that was a miracle if you lived in one of the tenement houses that were destroyed instead. But there's this incredible account of a wake happening in a house on Chambers Street. Quote, "The occupants were forced to flee with the corpse to mourn elsewhere, while the home of the bereaved and their belongings were totally destroyed." If you picture what it's like to live in Dublin in the 1870s, it's a city of incredible poverty.
Yeah.
People are trying to make life easier on themselves in whatever way they can financially. So you've got illegal dairies at the back of tenement blocks. You have cows, you have pigs, you have all kinds of animals, horses. Everything is transported through the streets of the Liberties by horse. You have this incredible spectacle of animals just running through the streets. And a couple of years ago, a few lads had a go at making a whiskey inspired by the fire, and they called it the Flaming Pig.
Because
they encountered a story in one of the papers of a pig just running through the scene, running through the confused people on the night.
What's that delicious smell of pork while I'm running for my life? So it started out in the bonded warehouse. Did it spread much?
It did. And I mean, even when you're walking through the studio on the way in to talk to you, there are two kinds of fire extinguishers in the building. When you have a fire, there are different ways to approach it, but people instantly want to help in whatever way they can. So people are applying water to this fire and they think that they're helping the situation, when in reality, they're actually making it much worse. And luckily for the people of Dublin, the chief of the Dublin Fire Brigade, a guy called James Robert Ingram, he was an extraordinary man. He was a veteran of the New York Fire Department. In fact, he called the Dublin Fire Brigade the Dublin Fire Department, which sounds very American, doesn't
it? Does, yeah.
And they wore red shirts like the New York firemen. He was pretty unconventional in how he fought fires. I mean, on one occasion, a ship was drifting into Dublin Port on fire, and he told the Navy, "Fire on it, sink it." Get everyone off first, but just sink it. And he looks at this incredible blaze as it's taking hold in the Liberties, and he argues, well, the only way we can combat this fire is by stopping the flow. So what do you have in abundance on the streets in the 1870s? There's horses everywhere, which means there's horse manure everywhere. And they essentially build barricades of horse manure.
And that's not flammable.
And that is what ultimately, that absorbs this flowing lava through the streets of the Liberties and allows the Dublin Fire Department, as it was, to get down to the business of fighting the fires.
Even more, I'm surprised they haven't made a movie about this.
Yeah, and Ingram's life is an incredible life, from a New York firefighter to the founder of the Dublin Fire Department. He later dies in his 50s of TB.
Yeah.
You know, he's in tenements all the time, working with the poor of Dublin, and he ends up in an unmarked grave in Mount Jerome Cemetery. It's just an extraordinary, extraordinary life. But the accounts in the press of this day are just incredible. I mean, to read one from the Illustrated London Times, crowds of people assembled and took off their hats and boots to collect the whiskey.
Yes, of course.
Which ran in streams along the street. Four persons have died in the hospital from the effect of drinking the whiskey, which was burning hot as it flowed. Two porters named Healy and McNulty were found in a laneway off Cork Street, lying insensible with their boots off, which they evidently used to collect the liquor. There are many other persons in the hospital who are suffering from the same cause. Two boys are reported to be dying, and it's feared that other deaths will follow. So this, of course, goes around the world. And it ties into a lot of things, doesn't it? It ties into that image.
It's a gift, isn't it?
Yeah, Thomas Nast, that nasty racist cartoonist in America, who, you know, presents the Irish as monkeys sitting on dynamite kegs. This ties into that idea of the drunken Irish. Mm. And the story really makes its way into the international press in a big, big way.
Is it known how many people died, how many casualties
so,
there were?
I mean, historians would say, go to the source. And my father, when he wrote a book on the whiskey fire, which we republished this year, he said, go to the coroners and try and find the people. Mm. The number 13 floats around in the press all the time. 13 people, it's a lot of people. I think he's found death certificates for five people. So there's at least five people who die as a result of consuming this lava as it flows through the streets. I often think about them in the same vein as the looters in 1916.
Yeah,
people talk about when Pierce is reading the proclamation at the GPO, you hear the breaking of glass across the street and the boot shops and the toy shops. These are people who had very little in their lives.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The first thing that came their way, a free drink, even if it was burning hot and flowing through the streets that pigs and horses were running through, they took their chances and they were willing to consume it.
All the distilleries were there, what happened to them all?
That's a great question. I mean, whiskey in Dublin survived the whiskey fire. Then came Prohibition, and Al Capone, I never thought I'd be quoting Al Capone in my life, but Al Capone said that Prohibition has made nothing but trouble. Bootleggers and gangsters, it's turned honest men into criminals and criminals into kings.
Yeah. Oh, so I mean, a lot of these places would have been exporting to
so
the
these,
US.
Yeah, Rose Whiskey would have been one of the largest whiskey brands in the world, and Irish whiskey, which had already suffered a lot at home. I mean, the temperance movement as well. Great,
yeah.
Don't agree with it, but great slogan the temperance movement had. Ireland sober will be Ireland free. They withstood the temperance movement. They withstood the whiskey fire. But I think Prohibition in the United States was what ultimately killed a lot of these distilleries. And there was no absence of alcohol during Prohibition. You know, people were probably drunker than ever.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. No,
what there wasn't,
about it, yeah.
Was, I find it really ironic now. You go to New York and it's all these kind of fake Shebeen, kind of that temperance era pubs. They're very much in fashion. But legally imported spirits suffered massively, and many Dublin Liberties distilleries would have gone to the wall.
That is a fascinating story. If you do want to hear more about that, Donald will be giving that talk on the 10th of May in St. Patrick's Cathedral, and you can get your tickets from culturedatewithdublinate.ie. Donald, thanks a million for coming into us. Donald Fallon there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.